I'd like to think Jesus is a great person. It's to me, it's a silly story.
耶稣是神的儿子，他同时也是真神。
It's idolization, basically, the idea that there is a human being that can be viewed as a god.
I believe it, that the teachings of Jesus, they ring true to me. It makes sense to live that way.
Jesus, I believe, was a liberal. And I think looking at where we're going, I think he'd be happy to see that people are becoming more and more accepting.
I think I grow more curious about that every day, and how I can be a better person, maybe by following his teachings, and maybe it will be a fit for me, and maybe it won't. But, you know, I have a lifetime to figure that out.
Well, good morning.Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not a typical sermon, a Lutheran sermon today, not by length, not by topic, really. And Pastor Beyer asked me to preach on the deity of Jesus. Is Jesus God? This topic is my bread and butter every day, actually, because I am engaged in reaching Muslims, as most of you know, or some of you know. And whatever I say, talk to Muslims, the issue comes up, and they say, how about you guys, you worship a man and you call him God, you know? I believe St. John...dealt with this in his gospel when he started with the prologue. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. These verses clearly indicate that Jesusis God in the flesh, and he is eternal. I was struggling with the deity of Jesus when I first heard the gospel. I think in 1980 it was the first time. I was a freshman at the American University of Beirut. It was my first semester, and the American University of Beirut, I was...accepted as a pre-medical student, and I was, you know, very happy. I thought, this is the glory, and we were going through a civil war in Lebanon between Christians and Muslims, and my only brother was killed, my only sibling, by a Christian militia, and I was devastated. I couldn't really focus on my studies.I got a silencer and a gun and decided to take revenge, kill my enemies. But there was a course of cultural studies that I did not drop, a course that included Greek mythology, selections really, from Greek mythology, from the Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament, from Western philosophy, from Socrates up to Nietzsche. And...The selection one day was the Sermon on the Mount. So coming back to the classroom after a night of stalking my enemies with a gun and a silencer, I heard, love your enemies, for the first time. I thought, wow, this is superhuman or ridiculous. Who could love his enemies? So I checked, I looked for a Bible, checked out a Bible from the library. It was King James Version, but I read Shakespeare before, so it was understandable to me.And I couldn't grasp who was Jesus or who is Jesus. Because I was doing things on my own. This is the importance of being in a flock fed by a shepherd, you know. So I was reading on my own. After 4 years, even though the Bible gave me peace, the more I read, the more I felt peace. After 4 years...I couldn't really focus on medicine, so I shifted gears, and applied for another major and was doing undergraduate studies in history to do a master's degree in the history of Islam, a topic I knew by heart because I went to a Muslim seminary before and I memorized half the Quran by heart. I read the biography of Muhammad and knew it by heart even. And the professor gave me a book written by a Canadian scholar. Nothing wrong with being Canadian. He was a good scholar. And the book was titled Islam in Modern History. I didn't learn much. Nothing really, actually. But there was a footnote in that book. A footnote that was very, very important. And Wilfred Cantwell Smith, a scholar of Islam, wrote, if you want to understand who is Jesus Christ, you cannot compare Jesus with Muhammad. Jesus is the word of God according to Christianity. Muhammad is an ordinary human being. While the Quran is the word of Allah, so while Jesus is the word of God, the Logos, the Quran is the word of Allah and believed by Muslims to be eternal. Wow. So Muslims believe that the Quran was pre-existent with Allah, and Christians believe that Jesus Christ as the Logos pre-existent with the Father. This was not really a light subject because in the 10th century there was a civil war that took place in Baghdad over this issue, the eternity of the Quran. Scholars of Islam then wanted to apply reason to the Quran as if they thought, how could the Quran be pre-existent with Allah? It makes two gods instead one God. So they said, well, we should really say that the Quran is created. And most scholars of Islam said, no, this is blasphemy. But the caliph, you know what's a caliph? It's the leader of the Muslim nation. The caliph in the 10th century was convinced that the Quran is created. So he subjected the people to an inquisition, especially Muslim scholars. Some people were tortured, some people were killed. And some people had to say yes. Maybe this is the way persuasion goes by in Islam. I don't know. But I understood then, as Muslims believe that the Quran is uncreated, eternal, I understood Jesus Christ, the Logos, is eternal. I'm not really peddling Islam or the Quran or a false God, but I'm talking about how sometimes by comparing things you understand more. I got a quotation from a Coptic monk. I like the way he describes the Trinity. And this really solved the Trinity for me when I understood that Jesus is the Logos, the Word of God, eternal Word of God. God the Father is self-contained. God speaks to us and creates through His Word, the Logos, who is Jesus Christ, and God is alive through His Holy Spirit who dwells in us and guides us. So God the Father is self-sufficient. He speaks to us through His Word, the Logos, Jesus Christ, and He lives through His Holy Spirit and guides us. Yes. God creates with His Word, Jesus Christ, the author of life. Remember in the book of Acts when Peter was talking to the crowds in the temple and they he was rebuking them for crucifying Jesus, and he said, you killed the author of life. You killed the author of life whom God raised from the dead. Another comparison really was good also from the Quran, the book of Islam, was about creation really. It says, Allah is the creator of all, knower His command when He intends to create to say, be, and it is. And so Muslims believe that Allah creates with a word. And for me at that time, more than 30 years ago, I grasped that the Word really actually the true God creates through His Word, Jesus Christ. All things were made through Him, as John said. And without Him was not anything made that was made. But false gods demand from us the impossible, right? I'm not, again, advocating false gods here. False gods demand the impossible from us. They demand that we implement the law, that we apply the commandments perfectly. This is what the law demands, and false religions demand. But if we try to live by the law, we'll die by the law, and we'll be condemned forever by the law. But Jesus Christ saves by grace. It is against human reason. And Jesus may sometimes have to drag us to heaven kicking and screaming, because it's not out of our reason, out of our intelligence, out of our power. We are dead in our sins, and the Holy Spirit revives our hearts and calls us to faith in Jesus Christ. In John 8, Jesus was discussing His divinity with the Jews. Remember, the Jewish leaders. And He said, unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. Unless we believe He is the I am, we will die in our sins. How did the argument go with the Jewish leaders? They wanted to stone Him, right? Again, in John 10, when He said, I and the Father and are one, the Jews picked up stones again to stone Him. And Jesus answered, I have shown you many good things. Why are you stoning me for? They said, we are not stoning you for good deeds, but because you are a man claiming to be God. So, in context, the Jews understood that Jesus was claiming deity. The context is very important. I don't know, American sports, but if you know the Cubs and I tell you something about the Cubs, you immediately understand, right? Because you know the context. And the same, the Jews really knew what He was talking about. This is why they wanted to stone Him. So the reaction of the Jews is a key factor in understanding what Jesus was saying. You are a mere man claimed to be God. They understood exactly that He is claiming deity. And then He said, before Abraham, I am. Before Abraham, I am. So Jews heard this statement and responded by taking stones to kill Him for blasphemy. Jesus was using the words of Yahweh that Moses heard 1500 years before Him. Can we show the video, please? 1500 years before Jesus, when God spoke to Moses through the burning bush. You got that ready?
Here.
Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.
Lord, Lord, why do you not hear the cries of their children in the bondage of Egypt?
I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Therefore I will send thee, Moses, unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring my people out of Egypt.
Who am I, Lord, that you should send me? How can I lead this people out of bondage? What words can I speak that they will heed?
I will teach thee what thou wilt say. When thou hast brought forth the people, they shall serve me upon this mountain. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. Now therefore go, and I will be with thee.
But if I say to your children that the God of their fathers has sent me, they will ask, what is his name? And how shall I answer them?
I am that I am. Thou shalt say, I am, hath sent me unto you.
I love Charlton Heston. I can't really read Exodus without imagining him being Moses, you know. Yeah. So, there are seven I ams in the Gospel of John, and we don't have time to go through them today, but they are great and really express, I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the good shepherd, etc. So when Jesus rose from the dead, Thomas doubted. Jesus appeared among the disciples suddenly, and he told Thomas, put your finger and see my hands. Put your hand here on my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Thomas, what did he answer? My Lord and my God, and he worshipped him. So Jesus did not correct Thomas, right? In the book of Revelation, the angel says, there is no worship but to God. And Jesus never rebuked those who worshipped him. If Jesus were not God, he would have told the people not to worship him. But the most important thing that shows that Jesus is God is that he died for the sins of the world. A finite man cannot die for the infinite sins of the world. Only God can take away the sins of the world, the infinite penalty of our sins. Only God could take on the sins of the world, die and be resurrected, proving his victory over sin and death. This is why I believe that the biggest miracle that Jesus did in his during when he walked the earth, when he forgave people their sins. And remember when the paralytic was dangled from the roof in Matthew 9, and the Pharisees were there, the scribes, the leaders of the Jews, and Jesus told the paralytic, take heart, your sins are forgiven. And, you know, the scribes and the leaders of the Jews started, you know, mumbling, and he knew what were they thinking. The guy is blaspheming. He said, what's easier, to say your sins are forgiven or take up your mattress and walk? And he did walk. Another thing is, lady who came and poured the ointment on his feet and wiped his feet with her hair, and he saw the Pharisees were thinking, a sinful woman doing that, and he told her, your sins are forgiven. Only God can forgive sins. And this is why the Jews wanted to stone him. I don't know if Jesus came today, what would be our position? Some years ago, a senior pastor of the LCMS, this is shocking really, told me, if Jesus comes back, the pastors of the church will kill him. But God's grace is infinite. Infinite, and he does not deal with us according to our deeds. God's grace is not tit for tat. In Middle Eastern communities where Christians are persecuted and sometimes killed, where churches are burned and Christian priests are beheaded, Muslims are experiencing visions and dreams of Jesus and coming to the Word of God. Yesterday at Salam Christian Fellowship, I have to tell this story. An Indian from South India came. I met him on Facebook, and he lives in Minnesota, and he wants to learn Arabic. So he drove just to meet me and meet some people who could really help him online, you know, or on Facebook. And I didn't know his story, but he said his father was a convert from Islam, and his family threw him from a precipice. He was 16, broke his back, and lo and behold, a Lutheran pastor who was a missionary in India, Roland Miller, I don't know if anybody knows him, but he's a famous Dr. Miller, picked him up and took him to a Lutheran hospital and took care of him. So people there in the Middle East and Southeast Asia are going against the tide and embracing Jesus Christ because he is real. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's appearing to Muslims in visions and dreams amid persecution and then calling them to come to church to the Word of God. When people see the light of the world in a vision or a dream, they come to church, ask questions, and get instructions, and repent, and are baptized. This is what's happening at Salam Christian Fellowship. And Pastor Bayer asked me to really to be personal here and mention some of my personal experiences. Let me tell you first, this is something not really peculiar or particular to Muslims only. There was a Jewish convert, they call him a Messianic Jew really, and Reverend Dr. Chad Foster, who pastors a church in Ohio today, came to the pastoral conference of the NID, Northern Illinois District, and gave us a presentation. And I asked him, Chad, are Jews experiencing visions and dreams? He said, exactly. Like Muslims today, they are experiencing visions and dreams. And he made a statement, a big statement. He said, while the West is a culture of rationality, the Middle East is a culture of revelation. Yes, a culture of revelation. Jesus is revealing himself to people amid persecution. When I was baptized in Lebanon, Beirut, Lebanon, it was in a tub, okay, at night. And I was a journalist, and I didn't know what to say to my wife, you know, because I crossed the red line. And in Sharia law, which governs family courts in Beirut, Lebanon, she could divorce me with one word because I became an apostate. A Muslim woman cannot be under a Muslim, a Christian, or a Jew, or a non-Muslim. So I went home confused. I didn't know what to do. And usually when I go back at night, tired, we have a bite and go to bed. I told her, I'm too tired to eat. I want to lie down a little bit then. As soon as my head hit the pillow, Jesus came and grabbed my arm, and we flew together over a river, broad river, wide river, gushing with water, and put me in a garden full of vines with large, large leaves. I guess Jesus wanted me to be in the vine. He wants us all to be in the vine. As he said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it may bear more fruit. Since then, I put my shoulder on the plow and never looked back. With your support, we founded Salaam Christian Fellowship almost 12 years ago, a faith ministry that shares the gospel with Muslims and people from the Middle East. We have to trust Jesus, the true vine, and know that He is God in the flesh. And the Israelites, by faith, overcame principalities and kingdoms and built Jerusalem, the temple. Against all odds, we have to trust in Jesus, the true vine, the true God, and share His gospel with the lost in word and deed. And He will catapult you in glory and carry you from glory to glory if you surrender to Him. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than we ask or think, according to the power working within us, the Holy Spirit, throughout all generations, in Jesus Christ. Amen.